two 12-year-old girls in Waukesha were charged as an adult Monday in the attempted murder of another 12-year-old girl.
The case raises the wider question of how a court decides whether to charge juveniles as adults and when, in some cases, those decisions are reversed.
Here to help us understand that process is Devin Lee, legal counsel and juvenile practice group coordinator for the State Public Defender's Office. Devin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what factors go into a decision for a court of whether to try a juvenile as an adult?
Well, what's interesting is that for some cases, they actually start in adult court. In other words, there's no discretion. So in some serious cases, like an attempted homicide or a first-degree intentional homicide, the case actually gets filed in adult court. And so then the court has to decide actually whether they're going to exercise discretion to return that child back to juvenile court.
And what is the age at which that starts, or the minimum age where there's that presumption that it goes straight to adult court in a violent case like that?
10 years old.
And then as far as deciding whether to charge a suspect as a juvenile or an adult, is it always that cut and dried, or are there cases where it's a prosecutor's discretion or a judge's discretion?
In Wisconsin, there actually isn't discretion. So by statute, in other words, by rule, certain cases start in adult court. Of relevance today, I think, is the attempted first-degree intentional homicide, and first-degree intentional homicide is automatically, there's no discretion on the part of the court or the prosecutor. It just gets charged in adult court. And then what happens is the child has a right to a hearing to present argument on certain factors as to why they should be returned to juvenile court. In other words, why the adult court should send the case to juvenile court.
And what kind of factors go into that decision if that is challenged? Prior criminal record, for example, is that something that gets considered in whether to throw it back from adult court to juvenile system?
It's not. There are actually three particular factors that a child would have to prove by a preponderance of the evidence, or in common parlance, it's just sort of 51%. And those three factors are, first, that if the child were convicted in adult court, they would not be able to receive adequate treatment in the adult system. Second is that transferring jurisdiction to the juvenile court would not depreciate the seriousness of the offense. And finally, the third factor that the court considers is whether retaining jurisdiction in adult court is necessary to deter that juvenile or other juveniles from committing the same sort of crime.
Now, are there cases that go the other way where the initial presumption is somebody under a certain age starts off in the juvenile system, but then for whatever reason it gets moved up to the adult system?
There is. For a lot of cases, there are situations where the case starts in juvenile court and the state can move to have that juvenile tried in adult court. And that's a situation where there's often a hearing where both sides present evidence and the court considers whether to send the juvenile to adult court.
And when would the state think about doing something like that? When would the court system think about moving a juvenile into the adult system?
That's a good question. I think that sometimes has to do with the seriousness of the offense, how old the child is. In other words, you know, in Wisconsin, our age of adult jurisdiction is 17. So if you have a child who is maybe 16 and has a history of serious offenses, then the state might want to have that child moved to adult court. You know, one of the things that there's sort of a number of factors that the court would consider if they wanted to send a child to adult court, and that's something about the child's personality, the child's history, mental health, sort of what is the nature of the offense, was it violent and aggressive, what things are available in juvenile court for that kind of child, and then whether it makes sense to have the whole case go up to adult court. So it's slightly different factors from what they consider when the case starts in adult court.
And you mentioned the age 17 as when you're just an adult and you go to adult court. I seem to remember there have been efforts to move that age up to 18. Where has that left off?
That's correct. Well, nationally, there's been a move in some states to have juvenile jurisdiction remain through 17. And in New York, for example, it's actually 16. And I think there's a recognition in general that children's brains are not fully developed, even at 17. And because even though a 17-year-old may look physically mature, their brain really is not mature. And what we're learning now is that our brains don't develop until we're into our 20s. So I think there's a recognition of that, and I think there's been some support for that same concept in Wisconsin.
Is that part of the philosophy behind the idea of putting somebody in a juvenile court versus an adult court, this idea of brain development, and that at that stage in brain development, somebody isn't as culpable, as ultimately responsible for actions as somebody who's older and theoretically their brain is more developed?
I think that's certainly true. You know, it's been interesting over the last 10 years or so, our U.S. Supreme Court has actually started looking at the studies that have been done in brain development, and scientists have actually used MRIs to scan children's brains over years to sort of see how they develop. And what they've learned is that the frontal lobe, which sort of controls, you know, how we think about things and our ability to look at risk, isn't fully developed. And so children use different parts of their brains to make decisions about risk. And the U.S. Supreme Court has taken that into consideration and said, you know, this means that children are less morally culpable, that they're more open to rehabilitation, and that, you know, the acts that they commit as children don't necessarily reflect on who they'll be as an adult.
And that's one of the arguments that goes back and forth in this issue sometimes, too, is that if you've got somebody aged 10 to 17 and you give them an adult-style sentence, they're basically starting life at age 40, 45, 50 when they actually get out of prison.
That's true. And there's also some studies that show that children who are treated as adults are more likely to reoffend down the road. In other words, the programs that are available in juvenile court, which focus on rehabilitation, mental health services, educational services, actually make the community safer in the long run than, you know, sort of this locking kids up until, as you say, they're 40 or 50 and then trying to start their lives.
We're talking to Devin Lee about how courts decide whether to charge juveniles as adults. The question prompted by the case in Waukesha, the stabbing, the alleged offenders, age 12, charged earlier this week as adults.
And if you have general questions about how the justice and juvenile justice system work, we hope to hear from you. You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post your questions on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Devin Lee, legal counsel and juvenile practice group coordinator for the State Public Defender's Office, about how the courts decide when to charge juveniles as adults.
Discussion coming up because of the case in Waukesha involving two alleged 12-year-old attempted homicide suspects. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have experience working in the court system as a prosecutor, a defender, judge, or somebody who works in social services? What have you seen? What goes into the decision of whether to charge a minor as an adult or not? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can send an email, talk@WPR.org. Devin, you had touched on before the news where the kids go if they're found guilty and they go into the incarceration system. How do you weigh the costs and benefits of taking a minor and putting them in an adult system where there's no services for them, as you said, versus putting a violent offender in the juvenile justice system, the incarceration system, that may not be able to handle a very violent offender?
You know, I think that's a fair question. And I guess I see it this way. You know, when a crime that's sort of shocking is committed, I think there's no clear answer what's going to be best for a particular child, because I think we start asking ourselves, you know, why did this happen? You know, what does this mean for this person and for this community, and how do we keep our community safe, et cetera, all these natural questions. And I think one thing that we need to recognize is that the juvenile justice system is actually designed in Wisconsin to handle everything from, you know, the kid who steals, you know, Cheetos from the gas station, or sort of these low-level offenses, all the way up to the most significant offenses. And our juvenile system has the tools to provide safety to the community and also provide support to these children. I think I had mentioned that, you know, children who are retained in the juvenile system, actually there are better outcomes for both the individual children and for the community. And so, you know, with children who are placed in our juvenile prison, for example, have access to mental health counseling, they have access to education, they certainly are held accountable. They are behind bars for all intents and purposes, not unlike if they're kept in the adult system. So in terms of, you know, sort of that punishment aspect, in some ways they're sort of identical with, but the advantage to the juvenile system is that you have this support and this rehabilitation focus for children, but they're certainly being held accountable.
We'll go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Amy on the line in Appleton. Amy, hi.
Hi there.
What did you want to bring up, Amy?
Well, I just wanted to bring up the point that I really think we do need to differentiate between violent crimes and nonviolent crimes. I'm 30 years old now, but when I was 15, I was charged with possession of a very small amount of marijuana, but I was charged as an adult, and I very honestly had to take classes and many other things where I hung out with people who were, you know, a lot worse off than I was, per se, and kind of got me around, you know, a group of people that I probably wouldn't have been, and it was not good for me at the time. So it really had an impact on my life. I've luckily turned everything around and am doing well, but I just wanted to bring that up.
Well, Amy, congratulations on a happy outcome in the long run. But Devin, is that normal nowadays, at least for somebody under the age of 18 to be charged as an adult for nonviolent drug crimes?
I think certainly for someone under 17, it would be unusual to charge someone as an adult for a drug crime. And again, I think there's a recognition that children are different. They're not mini adults. You know, there's sort of this adult time for adult crime. And really, children don't commit adult crimes. They commit, as children, crimes that are disturbing, horrific, et cetera. But, you know, as Amy is saying, we want kids to be able to have that second chance to move forward with their lives unburdened by a criminal conviction, by having everything be public. You know, that impacts on their future education, job prospects, et cetera.
Is there a change over time there where, I think it was about 15 years ago, Amy said she was charged as an adult at age 15? Is that something that the system is moving away from?
I think it is. You know, we were talking about the waiver from juvenile court into adult court, and certainly that can happen today. But I think there has been a movement toward recognizing that children are different. And again, you know, when our U.S. Supreme Court, which is not, you know, sort of a radical court, is recognizing the science that says, you know, children are literally using different parts of their brains than adults. And we didn't realize this before, and we didn't realize that when a child, you know, is involved in a drug offense or other offense, it doesn't mean that they're going to do this forever, you know, but that kids do change, that their personalities are not set in stone.
And Amy's story makes me think of another issue I wanted to bring up. The safety of someone under 17 ending up in adult prison, does that factor into whether they're charged as adult and how sentencing works if they are?
What happens in Wisconsin is that even if a child is convicted in adult court, they're held at the juvenile prison until they are 17, and then they can be moved to an adult institution. So there's federal law that prevents children from being housed with adults, whether it's in a county jail or in a prison. And so in Wisconsin, that's why we actually house children with other children.
And one side question, in the juvenile system, if someone's charged as a juvenile, not an adult, are there more non-incarceration alternatives out there available?
There absolutely are. We have sort of a number of placements for children. They may be placed with a foster home. They may be placed in a group home. They can be placed in a what's called a juvenile treatment facility. It's generally unlocked, intensive treatment, all the way up to, you know, then our juvenile prison.
We'll leave it there for now. Devin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Devin Lee. She's legal counsel and juvenile practice coordinator at the State Public Defender's Office, helping us to get to know how the courts decide whether to try juveniles as adults.